Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend. Question I have asked some of you all to meditate on before at some point, and it is one I think we all need to ask from time to time, ask ourselves, and that is, why are you here, right? Why are you here? And we can think about being in the pew right now at 6 p.m. Mass, and that certainly is one way to approach that question, why am I here? But there's another way to approach that question, and that is, why do I exist at all? Why am I? How did I come to be? Why am I here? What is it that brought me into existence that I would exist at all and be thinking tonight about that question, why I'm here? And there is a lie that is told over and over again, I'm afraid, and especially young people and have believed it. And there's a kind of great movement, if you will, of this falling away, a great sense of we're just all sort of a random accident, that the cosmos, the universe burped us into existence one day and that's how we came to be, and you know, we're just animals, and that's that, you know? But that is not true. You exist because God desired to share the glory of his being with you. That God is this generous love, and in his generosity, that love overflows in a creative power that brings you into being. And that you are a child of God, beloved by him, and born of his will. Now, I want you to think for just a second, okay? I want you to imagine, we've all played in the dirt, right? Everybody, maybe it's been many years since you played in the dirt. Maybe it's time for you to play in the dirt again. But you've played in the dirt, and when you played in the dirt, you kind of can scoop a handful of dirt. And I want you to imagine this for a moment. You're playing in the dirt. You're scooping up a pile of dirt in front of you. And then you can kind of bring it into your hands, almost making a dirt clod, a handful of loose dirt. And it's going down into the crevices in your hand. You can feel the little individual grains of dirt, sand in there. Maybe some of it's under your fingernails. And you look and you see this handful of dirt. And now I want you to imagine that that handful of dirt's not just in your hands, but it's in God's hands. And so God has scooped up the dust of the earth, the clay of the ground. And then God breathes his very spirit into this dirt. God breathes his love and his life. And he creates. And he creates out of love, he creates you. This breath of God into the dirt of the earth. So come back here now, and I will quote a psalm to you, Psalm 102. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. For he knows of what we are made. He remembers that we are dust. Oh, he remembers that we are dirt. Why am I talking about this? Jesus uses a parable about guests invited to a wedding to teach about humility. And so now a little word study for a moment. And I know some of you know this. The word is humus, okay? And that word, it's a Latin word. And it's a Latin word that means dirt, okay? And you can hear it's the root of our English word humility, okay? It's also related to the human English word human, okay? So this Latin word humus, that means the dirt or the dust of the earth. And so the dirt of the earth is scooped into God's hands and his life is breathed into it and you are created. But without the life breath of God, without God's life and spirit in you, what are you? Yeah, that's exactly right. You are dirt, okay? You are this matter that really isn't capable of a whole lot. But because God did breathe his life into you, you have certain gifts and you have certain talents and you have certain abilities that have been given to you, entrusted to you by God. Now, for you to know that without the gift of God, you have nothing, but with the gift of God, you have many gifts, many things, many abilities. And what is that? When you recognize that everything I have and everything I ever will be starts with the gift of God, what virtue is that you have acquired when you know that and you live that? That's called humility. It's not a denial of your gifts. It's not to say I'm no good or I have nothing or I can do nothing. It is to recognize that everything good that we have comes from God and ultimately should be directed back towards the glory of God. And so we humble ourselves before Almighty God and God lifts us up. In the words of sacred scripture today, everyone who exalts himself, who thinks that he is the source of his own goodness, the source of his own life, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted or lifted up. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the narrow way. And, you know, it's a striking image, isn't it? The narrow way. You can see that visually, this road that narrows, and not everybody's on it. Well, Jesus uses another striking visual image today, and that is of guests at a wedding feast. And I told you all a few minutes ago that this is a wedding, okay? This language of weddings coming up over and over in sacred scripture. So Jesus uses this language of wedding guests at a wedding feast, and you can just imagine someone being escorted from the front of the church to the back of the church, or maybe even outside of the church, because, hey, you know, you had no business sitting in the front in the first place. It's kind of a striking image, almost a frightening image, a little bit. But Jesus uses this to call our attention to this notion of humility, to let God lift us up. You know, one of the things that kind of frightens me sometimes is that here we are, and I have my own special place, right up here in the front of the church, and it's a little scary sometimes, you know, because I as I make my way to the front, I think, well, you know, Lord, I hope it's you calling me forward, and God will call each one of us forward. God calls us forward to receive the great gift of his grace, the great gift of his love, through an act of humility, really a number of acts of humility. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. So humility is one of the most important virtues. Maybe it is the most important virtue. And what is a virtue? A virtue is the quality of a soul that enables it to do the right thing. To be virtuous is to know what to do and to be able to do it. That quality of our soul to do the right thing. Now, the first sin was pride, okay? The first sin was pride, and what is the antidote to pride? The antidote to pride is humility, okay? Humility. Humility is this recognition that all we have and all we are comes from God. Now, at Mass, the church calls us, when we come into this building to worship God, the church calls us, Almighty God calls us through his church to a number of acts of humility, outward signs. And what's the first one? When we come into the church, when we approach the sanctuary and we see the tabernacle there and the tabernacleite, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to genuflect, bend our knee. And so we bend our knee before Almighty God as an act of humility. And then once we begin Mass, and we did this tonight, we take a moment, we acknowledge our sins, and as we acknowledge our sins, we acknowledge the fact that, you know, we need God's help in overcoming our sin and being forgiven for our sins. And so then we say, I confess to Almighty God. And then we take responsibility through my fault. You know, we're not pointing a finger over here going through their fault. You know, we're saying through my fault. And we take that responsibility in an act of humility. Now, as we think about Jesus, and I'll get back to us in just a moment, and these are just ones that came to my mind in just 1 minute of thinking about Jesus and his humility. First of all, he was born in a barn, right? Born in a stable. Born not in a palace, but born with the animals, this humble birth. And then he washed the feet of his apostles, right? Got down on his knees before them and did a slave's work. And then he was rejected, spit upon, beat, and all of those things, taking our sin upon himself. So Jesus is this model of humility, overcoming the pride of humanity by his humility. And then I'll say the last thing, or second to last one, I want to point out, the most prominent act, perhaps, of humility that we do in the course of the Mass is when we say these words, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed, right? Something along those lines. Lord, I am not worthy, but you say the word. Now, when we say that, I hope we mean it. I hope that comes out of our hearts, that we are not worthy, but we humble ourselves. And everybody who humbles themselves, God lifts up. And everybody who lifts themselves up or exalts themselves, guess what's coming? God will cast them down. It's just that simple. That's the equation. So the church invites us to these over and over again to acts of humility, this outward disposition of humility that God can lift and fill us. Now, the last one I'm going to ask you to remember is when you come forward in the communion line, that right before you get, maybe when you're one person back, you take a moment and you bow your head a little bit. You make an outward act of reverence and humility as you come forward to receive the Blessed Sacrament. But all of this coming forward to receive Christ in the Eucharist presupposes that you're in a state of grace. Now, what does it mean to be in a state of grace? That means that you're not aware of any serious sin that you have committed since the last time you went to confession. Okay? That's what it is. That's what a state of grace is. What would a serious sin be? Well, a serious sin would be going against one of the precepts of the church, like not attending Mass on every Sunday and holy days of obligation, not observing the days of fasting and abstinence, or breaking one of the commandments. And if we do those things, what do we need to do before we receive Holy Communion? What act of humility should we undergo before we receive communion? The big one, okay? That's right. Confession. That's a big act of humility. And some people are like, Father Mike, don't tell me I have to go to confession. And I will say, it's not me. It's Jesus, okay? It's the church. I can't tell you, I really can't tell you that you can't receive Holy Communion. But I can tell you what the church expects of you in order for you to receive Holy Communion. And the church expects you to be in a state of grace. And if you have done something, if you have done some sin or some turned your back on the church or the teachings of the church, then the pathway back is the pathway of what? Pride or humility? It's the pathway of humility. And so sacramental reconciliation is another outward sign of this humility. You know, sometimes people will have an attitude, nobody can tell me, or it's my right, or it's my privilege, or whatever it might be. I can tell you that's the wrong disposition to receive Holy Communion with. The right disposition to receive Holy Communion with is, Lord, I am not worthy, but you say the word. And so those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You have been invited here to this wedding feast. Christ is calling you up to the front. May we be humble in being called forward. The last little point I want to make, very, very briefly, I promise, is once upon a time, I don't remember the exact circumstances, but it was very clear to me that I kind of started to get a little bit full of myself about something. I'm not sure what it was, but whatever it was, I was getting a little full of myself, and I could sense it. And I don't know if it was disturbing my spirit or not. I don't think it was really. But then I heard this voice say to me, and it was the voice of the good spirit. And the voice of the good spirit said to me, Michael, either you humble yourself or I'm going to do it for you. You know, and so we seek to stay in God's grace and to walk according to his commandments and his will and the teachings of the church and stay humble and let him lift us up, because certainly he lifts the humble and he casts down the proud.